am Plant on the Line in Vancouver at thecommentary.ca. My old friend Sean Cranberry is back and here with me in my office and studio, if you will. The book enthusiast, promoter, and man about town joins me to talk about some worthwhile book events. Tonight, for example, Thursday, the 27th of September, 2012, the Real Vancouver Writers Series, of which Mr. Cranberry is a conspicuous convener, hosts its first event of the fall season, the Real Vancouver Book Thug, featuring five writers from these parts who've been published by Book Thug, a Toronto house. That's tonight, 7 p.m. at W2, at the W2 Media Cafe Performance Space at 111 West Hastings. It's $5 at the door, and nobody's turned away for lack of funds. RealVancouverWriters.org is the website for more information. There's another event, the 12th of October 2012, also at W2, the Invasion Angle. We'll get Sean to tell us about that event and the Real Vancouver Kenzine on the 17th of November. He's also a bartender at one of the newest spots on Commercial Drive, the Storm Crow Tavern. It's a self-described nerd bar. He's just interviewed Michael Chabon, and books on the radio, his online and radio program is on the move. There's much to talk about, seancranberry.com, and of course, booksontheradio.ca. Please welcome back to the Plant on the Line program, Sean Cranberry. Mr. Cranberry, good morning.
How you doing, Joe? Thanks for having me back. It's nice to be in your new studio.
Thanks for joining us. It's I appreciate you coming in and all that. Yeah. So tonight's event, the Real Vancouver Book Thug. I never knew heard of Book Thug before. This is a house in Toronto?
Yeah. They're an independent publisher in Toronto. They, I think that their tagline is publishing the future of literature. They do really high quality, small run pressings of poetry, kind of cultural criticism, creative nonfiction, and they just have a really excellent aesthetic, and they publish a lot of really great writers. So sometime earlier in the summer, I was in contact with them about one thing or another, and I proposed the idea, which I had been speaking about with my Real Vancouver Writer Series partners, Adina Delbucchia and Lisa Hannes, about doing Real Vancouver events that might be more centered around a publishing house rather than what we have been doing, which is kind of just curating from all over the place. So we thought we'd test the waters, and we managed to convince Book Thug, it didn't take much, that this was a good idea, and they got on board, contacted some of the writers, and we put together a pretty kick-ass list of authors who are going to be participating tonight. Not the least of which, George Bowring. Mm-hmm. It's great to finally have him at a Real Vancouver event. Meredith Quatermain, of course, is a hugely respected writer and a great poet who participated in the original Olympic editions of Real Vancouver. And then the other three writers, Andrew, Jake, and John, are really kind of young writers just getting their start, and it's going to be really interesting to hear what they say, too.
Now, I've never been to one of these events, but they're well attended, right?
Yeah.
And the sort of people that go there are, they're obviously readers.
Yep.
They're people in the book business, I guess.
There's very often, there's not a lot of people in the book business,
yeah,
necessarily. It's mostly people who are members of the community, either as writers or as friends of the writers, or people who are other who are just avid readers from Vancouver who are interested in the literary community here.
And in the space, W2?
Yeah, W2, in the Woodwards building.
Yeah.
In the refurbished Woodwards building, the area that we do the Real Vancouver event is in the basement, what we call the performance space. And we serve drinks, we live stream and video archive and record every event, and that'll be no different tonight. And we we also like to make it as informal as possible. Part of the Real Vancouver aesthetic, which isn't too different from a lot of other writing series, is to ensure that the audience has as much time as possible to interact with, talk to, listen to, get books signed by the writers. And we also try and cross-pollinate the writers as much as possible, putting poets on stage with nonfiction writers, with novelists, with new writers who are just starting out. So we try and make it as robust and different and unique as we can.
And then the event in October, the Invasion Angle.
The Invasion Angle, yeah, that's another one where we talk to Coach House. And Spencer Gordon has a new book called Cosmo coming out. And so this is kind of a launch for him, but it's also a partnership with Geist Magazine and Tightrope Books. Nathaniel G. Moore will be coming out. as well. So we'll have two Toronto writers, Nathan and Spencer, and then we will also have Dina and Liz Baczynski representing Vancouver. So there'll be four writers on that card, and it's kind of it's a nice collaboration between Tightrope Books, Coach House Books, Real Vancouver Writer Series, Geist Magazine, and W2, and a couple of other partners.
I've seen the poster.
Yeah.
Did you design that?
I did not. No. Our friend Evan Monday from Coach House Books put that one together.
Yeah, it looks like a Beatles album.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And then Books on the Radio, that's the website that we first became aware of you, I guess.
Yeah, yeah.
You told me in an email that you're moving it to W2's morning show?
Yeah, well, it's kind of in flux at the moment.
Yeah.
You know, I do a lot of things, as we've already talked about, and so the Books on the Radio interviews have kind of taken a back seat for a little while. As you know, being a podcaster yourself, you know how difficult it can be to find time to do the interviews, edit the interviews, put them on the web, and all the rest of that stuff, right? So I kind of fell behind on that as life caught up with me. But the W2, my friends at W2 have the early morning radio show on Co-op Radio, which they liken to kind of a Vancouver version or a Canadian version of Democracy Now,
mm-hmm.
right? So they're looking for content, they're looking for literary content, and you know, we get along naturally, and we're inclined to get along naturally about these types of things. So my expectation is I'll be doing shorter interviews. Usually I do like half an hour interviews, sometimes they stretch longer than that. But I'll do shorter interviews and donate them to the W2 cause, and then post them to a website, which I will probably redesign again. And then we'll continue to do stuff on Books on the Radio. I mean, obviously, I just talked to Michael Chabon yesterday, and I've got three or four more interviews lined up over the next couple of the next month or so, right? Because we're going to have the Writers Festival, another amazing program put together by Hal Wake and his team. And, you know, you got Cory Doctorow coming to town. I always like to talk to Cory, and you got a bunch of other like super talented writers. So I can't. Books on the Radio is going to keep.
Yeah, going. You can't pass up the chance.
No, you can't pass up the opportunity. Right?
Yeah, no matter how busy one gets in life, it's just when great writers or famous writers come into town, you just want to talk to them.
Yeah.
You want to meet them in a way. Yeah. You mentioned Chabon. Yeah, you interviewed him yesterday.
Yeah, I talked to him yesterday.
Yeah, in person this was?
Yeah.
Yeah. We'll see this where? On CBC, is that right?
I'm writing a piece for the CBC Music, as opposed to CBC Books.
Mm-hmm.
They specifically wanted me to talk about the music in Telegraph Avenue. So we sat down at the art gallery, at the cafe at the art gallery, and shot the breeze for about half an hour about the music and about late 60s, early 70s. Funk, soul, and jazz records, and their place in the kind of cultural ether, and talked about record stores, and just talked about music in general. It was really nice.
Yeah.
I think it was nice for Michael to not talk about the book so much, you know, as it was to just talk about some of the music that he loves. And I
looked at his tour schedule.
Yeah.
It's like his city every day for like the last 2 weeks and the next three at least.
Yeah,
yeah.
Well, he's a big writer, and they've invested a lot in him, so they've put him out there. You know, like you see some of the stuff that he's done as a promotional wise at in San Francisco where he lives, or in Berkeley where he lives. The converting the local bookstore into Brokeland Records, into a record store, and. And they've put a lot behind it, and the book is very good and very, very funny. So I think it's a success, no matter how you slice it.
Yeah, it's already number 5, I think, on the Times list. Yeah,
yeah.
He's an easy guy to talk to, isn't he?
Very simple.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
Do you find that with the more famous the person, the easier they are, or the more successful the person, even?
Yeah.
I can't. You know, that's the one thing I've noticed in like 8 years of doing this.
Yeah. Well, you know, I think what happens is I think you're right. I look back at talking to, like, who are the big ones I've spoken to? William Gibson, Doctorow, Chabon, probably a few others that I can't remember right now. All of them super articulate, super comfortable in the exchange, the dance, as you call it, between an interviewer and the writer, right? And is that because It's probably because they've been through it a lot.
Yeah.
You know, I would think that Corey loves to chat. Chabon is a pretty outgoing guy too. And Gibson probably just learned it over time. You know, he was probably really reluctant in the early days. It would be interesting to talk to somebody who spoke to him at his very earliest times.
Mm-hmm.
But now I bet you he's just such an old hand at it that he just knows how to dance.
Yeah.
You know?
The state of the writing scene, the book scene, mm-hmm. in this city, we always talk about that whenever you're on.
Yeah.
How is it?
Oh, I think it's great.
Yeah. We've lost some bookstores.
We have lost some bookstores, but we've gained a bookstore or two here and there along the way. Like,
yeah.
In my neighborhood, we have...
a new Pulp Fiction, right?
Yeah, the new Pulp Fiction is on Commercial Drive. Great store.
Well, I've been in there. Yeah.
You know, they do what they do, which is discounted original, like first-run books. And then, obviously, great second-hand, very well-curated second-hand section and good staff, you know. So they're good. We also have the People's Republic of Books, is what mm-hmm. I call them, but the People's Co-op.
Yeah.
And they always do great work, you know.
That's a great story. I've been in there, yeah.
And then we have a couple secondhand shops on Commercial. You know, I think that the book selling scene is okay in Vancouver. It's not super vibrant as it was, say, when Duthie's was still around.
Yeah.
But you know, times are tough, right? And people will adapt. Books aren't, I'm a big booster of books. I'm a big believer that this kind of transitional moment that we're going through right now is really difficult on a particular business model that bookstores have used for many, many decades. But that people are going to figure it out. And some people like Pulp Fiction and others are already figuring out how to do it.
Have you gotten an e-reader yet?
No.
No?
No.
Will you?
No. Well, I mean, probably. I'll probably get an iPad.
Yeah.
You know? I think we've even had this conversation before.
Yeah.
But I'll, you know, I read on my iPhone sometimes,
mm-hmm.
but I'm really reluctant to buy an e-reader, you know, or at least a single-use reading device.
Yeah.
And, you know, the iPad seems to me to be good. I've experimented with the Nook and the Kindle and Kobo and all that kind of stuff, but it's nothing about those has really, any of those devices, has made me want to spend the money and then start buying ebooks.
Yeah.
I get emails from writers from time to time who, I think my email address is on certain chat boards or... certain like lists that are passed around on Amazon or whatever. Because I get emails from people asking me to review their ebooks, and I'm like, dude, I don't review ebooks.
Yeah.
You want to send me a finished copy? Send me a finished copy, and then that's usually where the conversation ends, right? I'm still very much a finished copy.
I've read books on my laptop.
Yeah.
Just out of necessity because they never sent a book or something like that, and I need to get it done right away. But for the most part, I haven't thought it. I mean, it is a different experience, and it's something that I'm not thinking of going to.
Yeah.
But I guess a lot of people buy ebooks. I think hasn't the number been ebooks higher than printed books?
Yeah, well, Amazon will never tell you
exactly
what those numbers are, but they will tell you what they want you to hear.
Yeah.
You know? So I think that that's probably true, that there's an ever-increasing amount of ebooks. I think it probably has something to do with price. Impulse buying and just, you know, access, you know. And then people, you know, it's a long and complicated question. There's going to be more and more ebooks sold. I mean, ebooks are really just websites that are contained in a file that you mm-hmm. share. And that's good. People are reading. Yeah, there's an increase in reading. There's an increase in works being shared, and in literature or writing or good novels or good pieces of history or poetry or whatever that are being shared. So, you can't argue with that.
Exactly. Yeah. The event in November, the Real Vancouver Canzine.
Yeah, Canzine.
What's that?
Canzine is Canzine is the event that occurs every year supported by Broken Pencil Magazine, which is the magazine of underground literature and zines in Canada. And around the world, they do a lot of recognition for international zines and people who are doing interesting things from abroad. So what they do in November is they have a Canzine in Toronto, a Canzine in Vancouver. There might even be one in Halifax, for all I know. And these are opportunities to get the local zine creative communities together and share their work and celebrate the work. And Canzine is, as I said, sponsored and really created by Broken Pencil. So it's a way that Broken Pencil gives back to the community and helps cultivate the community. And so we are hosting Canzine at W2 on November 17th, all day. It's a Saturday. All three floors of W2 will be occupied by the Canzine Fest, including the atrium area. And in the afternoon around 4:30, we'll be doing a Real Vancouver writer series event featuring Hal Nidzvicki from Toronto, A.G. Pescaia from Toronto, and a couple other writers from Vancouver, Gene Smith, and Sarah, whose name I forget right at this moment, but she's going to. But it's going to be a very cool event.
Yeah. And it's an all day thing, which it seems like a neat thing. You can just go in there and browse, I guess. And
yeah, go in, hang out, browse. Lots of zinesters will be selling their stuff, and there'll be all kinds of panel discussions and events throughout the day that will be happening based around zine culture.
If you're a book fan. Yeah. Or a book reader. I mean, there's a lot of events. And I mean, there's Word on the Street this weekend. There's the Writers Fest coming up in a couple weeks or so.
Yeah.
Your events that you put on monthly.
Yeah.
It's a good time, isn't it?
Yeah, I think so. I think that Vancouver it used to be that we could talk about Vancouver literary events and say that there weren't enough.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't that long ago.
Yeah.
Now it seems like you can't go anywhere in the city without running into at least some really worthwhile, cool, interesting literary event every night of the week.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a good thing. Obviously, October, late September and October are the busiest times, right? First of all, publishers, this is when they're pushing all of their books and all of their writers are on tour.
Yeah.
Obviously, the Writers' Festival is a huge part of that. And I think, you know, after the summer and once the weather kind of changes, people are inclined to kind of get together and do things that get them out of the house. And it is a good time. And there's an abundance of talent in Vancouver, an abundance of literary talent of people who are doing really interesting things. So it's hard not to put them on stage and celebrate their work. You know?
Indeed, yeah. Stormcrow Tavern?
Ah, yes, the Stormcrow. Yeah.
That's on Commercial.
Yeah.
What's the cross street?
1305, so it's right near the park. Is it Grant Street?
Yeah, something. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, yeah, it's right there. So it's the old Latin Quarter.
Ah, okay.
Yeah. Right? So Latin Quarter is no longer. So the Stormcrow is a nerd bar, which means that it is fundamentally kind of trying to appeal to people who are interested in maybe some kind of nerdy subculture, whether that's board games like Settlers of Catan, or whether it's Dungeons and Dragons, whether it's like sci-fi fantasy film, whether it's that big HBO series,
like Game of Thrones,
right? All that kind of stuff. So kind of like geeky, nerdy subculture stuff. We don't have TVs. We don't show sports. Well, we have one TV that shows like movies like Zardoz or Rocket Robin Hood, or just kind of kitschy, campy, fun things in the background, Lord of the Rings, whatever. We have really good food. The people are excellent, very funny. And one way that I describe the Stormcrow is to say that the people who come in there are literate.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've bartended in many places over the years, and I've never really worked at a bar where you can overhear some really, really interesting conversations. You can always overhear really interesting conversations, but there's a different aspect that happens at the Stormcrow. There's a level of literacy that is higher, and some very interesting and bizarre conversations can be overheard there and participated in.
Yeah, I've read reviews online of the place,
and
it's well attended.
Yeah,
And it's a fun place, people say.
Yeah.
Next time I'm on commercial, I certainly will drop in.
Yeah, come in. I mean, what's interesting is that the food is excellent, you know, cheap, whatever. But when you subtract things like booming music and booming television sets slamming you in the face with TSN all the time, and you just let people talk and hang out and enjoy each other's company, it creates an incredible ambiance, and that's really one of the things that separates the Crow from anything else.
Yeah. I appreciate you coming in today.
Yeah, thanks, man. It's been great.
Yeah, the event tonight, Real Vancouver Book Thug, that's 7 p.m. at the W2 Media Cafe Performance Space. It's 111 West Hastings, $5 at the door. And if you don't have the funds, nobody will get turned away. So
that's right.
Do check that out. The websites, realvancouverwriters.org, seancranberry.com, booksontheradio.ca. Sean Cranberry joined me in studio here in Vancouver. I'm Joseph Planta.